Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
What up, Boo-leavers? Welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are so glad you are joining us. We have a frightfully funny alcohol-fueled episode. I don't know. I had like a train and then I completely lost the train.
So it happens, man.
It happens, man. But we're here. We're chilling. We're vibing. We're coming to you live with another episode. Aiden, how are we doing today?
Straight chilling.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Where are we headed tonight?
So we are heading to a location that was recommended to us by a listener.
Yeah.
So this is just a reminder, if you want your city or town covered, we don't discriminate. Whatever your town may be, we will do it if you ask. So Hit us up, let us know.
Hit us up.
Ask us to do your town or your city.
Yeah.
Give us some recommendations.
Hit us.
Today we are doing Bemidji, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Have you ever seen Fargo?
Yes, I have.
Bemidji's in Fargo,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, dude, it was funny when I was writing my storgy.
Your bestorgy?
My bestorgy. When I was writing my story, I was...
thinking back to Fargo?
I was thinking back to Fargo. We only watched the first season, then we started the second one. We, like, didn't watch.
So you watched the one with Martin?
Yeah, whatever. No, not Martin Short. But he was the dude from The Elf.
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, we did watch that season. And that was, yeah, they were in Fargo, but they talked about Bemidji a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that wasn't Colin Hanks the cop from Bemidji?
Yes. I think so.
And, like, the guy did a crime in Bemidji?
I think so.
But then went back to Fargo?
Something like that.
It's in Fargo. That's the moral of the story. But I only just realized that as we sat down, so that's pretty cool.
Minnesota. Don't you know.
So, I'm pretty stoked on the beverage that we have planned for today, so that would be a maple bourbon smash.
Ooh. Yummy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so... So when we're, like, recording these episodes, I am looking at the screen of the computer, and I can see, like, the bars of, like, our audio. And the one that was just made when you did that...
Ooh.
Yeah. It's just, like... just like one straight line.
Oh, man. Well, that sounds really freaking good, dude.
So what you're going to do if you want to drink along with us, 2 ounces of bourbon of your choice.
Mm.
I'm doing Evan Williams, which is a big mistake because it's jet fuel.
I was going to say, that is someone's getting a little dirty tonight. Someone's going to be rubbing maple syrup on their nips later.
Oh, I'd have to take a shower after that. I don't really want to do that. 2 ounces of bourbon, half an ounce of maple syrup, a little bit of...
I didn't realize there was like full-on maple scissorp in there.
Yep.
You got to make a maple scissorp.
Maple scissorp.
Scissorp.
A little Mrs. Buttersworth in there.
Yeah, get up in
that. Is that technically maple syrup?
What?
Is Mrs. Buttersworth is technically... pancake syrup, I think. I don't think it's maple syrup.
I don't think there's maple in it. Like, that's
whatever.
Why.
Whatever.
Whatevs, dude.
So you can do a little bit of Mrs. Buttersworth or your favorite maple syrup.
Yep. You can cover that thing in it.
Just lather it up. Mmm. Mm, delicious.
Delish.
2 ounces of bourbon.
Yep.
Half an ounce of maple syrup. A little bit of lime juice. A little bit of lemon juice.
Ooh.
Garnish. I'm garnishing with a cinnamon stick.
Yeah.
But you can garnish with whatever the frick you want.
Oh.
A little bit of, couple of dashes of bitters in there. Nice. And shake it up.
Shake it. Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Hey, yeah, shake it like a Polaroid picture. Come on, now, fellas. Yeah. Dude, we've been in a singing mood lately.
Yeah, we have.
The last two episodes, we're just singing up a storm.
Singing up a storm, dude.
But yeah, I garnish with a cinnamon stick, but whatever your little tiny heart desires.
Yeah.
So.
Or your big heart.
Or your big heart, if you are a larger heart human.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, cheers to Bemidji, don't you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, maple bourbon smash. Whoa, that is weird.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, it's literally whiskey, maple syrup, and lime juice.
That is weird. It's like, I don't know. Like, immediately,
based off the face, it's hard to tell if he likes it.
Like, immediately you get smacked in the face with citrus.
Oh, weird.
And then if you wait like 15, 20 seconds, then all of a sudden it's all maple syrup.
That's so weird.
Super weird. God bless.
Hey.
Gobbles.
Talk, you dude.
Yeah, I can't decide if I like that or not.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Like, your face goes back and forth. Like, you've been like, oh, maybe I like it.
I'll say this either way. It's never going to be my first choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is it worth, like, if the listeners are interested in is it worth them trying?
Dude, I think that any drink that we drink, if you're the type of person who likes to sip along, then just go with the vibe, you know? Just make it up. Throw a little cocktail in a cup, sip along, and if you wanna do the same cocktail as me, then great. If you wanna just do whatever you wanna do, then do that. But yeah, I think it's always worth it, so that you can get the same flavor profile that I'm describing. Dude.
You get the flavor.
I like to imagine that our listeners take a sip for the first time as I'm taking a sip for the first time, so that they're getting the same hints of things and having the same or different reactions.
Or different, yeah.
Maybe, I mean, there's someone out there where this is their favorite fucking cocktail.
Yeah.
I am not that person.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. Like, it's not.
It's all right.
It's not chunky.
No, what the fuck was that one?
That was a, like, coffee.
Okay. I have said this, and I think, like, it's easier you know, my side. But I feel like we've been playing it safe with the cocktails a little bit lately. And I feel like this is like a good like jump out there.
Jumping back into the deep end a little bit.
We gotta
but
jump.
Still kind of safe.
Yeah, but I think we should start to jump into the deep end a little bit. I know it's somewhat dependent on like location bait. Like it's like.
Yeah, because there's certain like ingredients that you just straight up can't get here.
Yeah.
Especially in like in the desert areas.
Yeah.
Like there's been cocktails that I'm like, I just can't find.
Get this
weird cactus juice.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the other side where it's like some of these locations, like they're known for cocktails that are like widely like
everyone drinks them.
Yeah, like everyone like they're safe cocktails.
A dark and stormy.
Yeah, like a place is known for a safe cocktail. So like we can't fib. Like we can't be like, oh yeah, this one's known for chunky milk and stuff like that. Although that one was known for chunky milk. Yes.
No. It wasn't known for chunky milk. It was known for a cocktail that I fucked up.
Yes, you did fuck up.
But
dude, I think one episode, I get to just make the cocktail, and you have to drink it.
Yeah,
I get to put whatever the fuck.
You know
I
what
want
that should be?
It.
That should be our 1 year.
Yeah.
Episode, like a number 52.
Uh-huh.
You, whatever concoction,
yes.
Within reason,
Yeah.
My I have a couple of requests. No ranch. Pretty much no white condiments. No ranch, no mayo.
Was it? Okay.
Like no non-cocktail ingredients.
Well, I have access to a blender.
Yeah.
Cool.
I have a blender.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, I'm putting some weird shit in there.
Just don't make me chew my drink, please. Yeah. Please.
A little blended up beef jerky.
Oh, dude. All right, we're going to set some parameters for this.
Oh, man, I can't wait, dude.
Within reason.
We're starting to get close to, like, 1 year anniversary, dude.
Yeah, we're 11 episodes off.
Yeah.
Where this is number 41. Number 52 is the big 1 year.
That's crazy. Sorry, yawn break. I should have stopped. I'm sorry, listeners. Will you forgive me? Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for yawning. Doo-doo-doo.
I don't think they do, but...
No, it's fine. They fucking hate me. I get it.
What are you, like, the teenage girl?
Yeah. Ugh.
You fucking hate me? It's fine.
Ugh.
It's fine.
You guys all fucking
not even
hate
a teenage
me?
Girl. You're like a weird, like, Hollywood version of a teenage yeah. girl.
Ugh, mom.
You
oh
fucking
my God. Hate me. Oh my gosh.
I can't go out with my 24-year-old boyfriend yeah. at 15 years old.
Hey, what the?
You hate me.
What the fuck? Where the fuck did that
I
come?
Feel like that's every, like, Hollywood movie is, like, a girl asks if, like, a girl asks if, like, she can do something super unreasonable. And the mom's like, what? No. And then the girl's like, I hate you. You're the worst person yeah. on the planet. Anyway.
Can I go sell my kidney in Thailand? No, it's a school night. Fuck you, mom. I'm
gonna go listen to emo music.
Yeah. Oh, man.
With my Walkman.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
We digress.
We digress. Get into the little haunts for this epi. So, I will be doing the Lake Julia Sanatorium. Mm-hmm. Technically, not in Bemidji.
Okay.
It's like 20 minutes outside of Bemidji.
That's Bemidji-ish.
It's Bemidji adjacent.
It's Bemidji-ish.
Bemidji-adjacent.
Bemation. Bemidji. Bemation.
It's a part of the Midji.
It's...
Nope.
Oh, man.
I feel like that... Can't be said.
I you didn't say anything wrong. You made a
I
made
feel
up
like
word.
I feel I that felt wrong.
No, it's fine.
I was trying to abbreviate and it didn't sit well.
It's fine.
All right.
It's near the Midge. Midgey. No, you can't. That's what you just
I feel said. Like isn't Midge a nickname for like an old timey name? No, Madge. That's Madge.
Madge. Madge.
Bemadji.
Bemadji.
What are we doing?
I don't know, dude.
Let's get into the haunt. We're 12, we're almost 13 minutes
we're,
into this
we
recording.
We are off the rails.
We're off the rails right now.
Oh, man.
I will say, I've been boozing it up today.
I've been boozing and cruising with the homies and we losing. There's so many rap songs about winning. There's got to be some about losing.
And boozing.
Boozing and losing.
We should make it. We should make that rap
We
song.
Should. We should rap, dude. Lay a beat.
Unce, 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 unce.
Abby.
Unce.
Pod.
Unce.
Casting.
Unce.
In the. No, I don't have it. I don't think I've ever had it.
Dude, I honestly feel like Spotify would probably like be searching for a song. To copyright that because it was so good. We just produced a song
straight far, dude.
That was like full on bars.
All right, let's talk about fucking. We gotta get
right.
to Bemidji, dude.
Yeah.
Keeping everyone waiting.
Yeah, they're on the edge of their seats.
Yeah,
north of Bemidji.
They want us to get up in that Bedussie, dude. Bemidji, more like Bedussie.
Oh, man. be like, I don't even know if I can use the first like 20 minutes of this episode.
No, dude, it's fine.
All right. Oh, man. North of Bemidji, Lake Juliet lies quiet and unassuming. On calm days, the water is a sheet of dull silver, broken only by reeds and the occasional ripple of wind. But long before anglers cast lines of or summer cabins dotted the shoreline, this lake bore witness to something far heavier. Sickness, isolation, and the slow vanishing of people sent away to heal. Near its shore once stood the Lake Julia Sanatorium, a tuberculosis facility whose physical presence has largely disappeared, but whose reputation has not. The building is gone. The paths have been reclaimed by grass and pine. At the turn of the 20th century, tuberculosis was not just an illness. It was a sentence that hovered over families and towns like a storm cloud. Known then as consumption, the disease wasted its victims slowly, thinning bodies and shortening breath until even standing became an effort. Before antibiotics, treatment relied on rest, nutrition, and fresh air. And so sanatoriums were built far from cities, placed deliberately in forests and near lakes where cold air and quiet were believed to heal. So I will say, while obviously having tuberculosis would not be a fun time, being sent to a sanatorium would also not be a fun time. Mm-hmm. The vibes, with like tuberculosis aside.
Yep, tuberculosis aside, sure.
The vibes of this kind of place sounds awesome. You go out and you're like in the fresh air, nice lake wind hitting your face, mm-hmm. quiet. I mean, hopefully you're not hearing, like, groans of pain from tuberculosis patients.
Yeah, I mean, it must be nice if they ever wheeled you outside because you're just laying there going, because you have tuberculosis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tuberculosis is a lung one, right?
It is. I don't know.
You get a cough with tuberculosis, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like you cough blood, right?
Could you imagine, like, you ever at the, like, grocery store or the fucking, like, Target or the airport, and you're just walking around, and you hear someone, like, just hacking up along, like, cool, 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 like, and you, like, everyone's like, ugh, like, what the fuck is this person doing out of the house? That's just a building full of those people.
I mean, better to have them all in one place.
Yeah, for sure.
That would suck to be a nurse.
Yeah.
In that place. Like, that's pretty much, that's got to be a death sentence, right?
It might. I mean, I think they wore masks.
But they lived there. Like, once you, so what I do know about places like this is that, everyone is quarantined. Like,
gotcha.
Nurses, doctors, fucking cooks. Like everyone, no one can leave. Anyone who's in that place cannot go anywhere until, gotcha. Like, ever, pretty much. Ever.
Yeah, shit.
So, like, shit. Once you're there, and, like, so, I feel like taking a job in one of those places is, like, you're pretty much signing away your life.
Yeah,
to, like,
for sure.
Helping the people.
Yeah.
So.
Admirable.
So, you know what, dude? Props to those people.
Props who to those did people. That. Shut up, Pete.
That's awfully selfless.
Yeah. You a real one.
All right. Where was I? Northern Minnesota, with its pine forests and crisp winters, were considered ideal for this kind of environment. Lake Julia was chosen not for beauty alone, but for isolation. The sanatorium constructed near its shores in the early 1900s was intended to remove the sick from the healthy, to protect communities as much as to treat patients. Those sent there often arrived by rail or wagon, carrying little more than a suitcase, and a quiet understanding that they might not return, and some never did. Sanatorium life was defined by routine and restraint. Patients rose early, ate measured meals, and spent long hours resting, often outdoors, even in winter. Fresh air therapy meant patients were bundled in blankets and placed on porches, regardless of temperature, lungs burning as they inhaled the sharp northern cold. Silence was encouraged. Movement was restricted. Hope came in increments so small they were easy to miss. Visitors were limited. Letters were censored for fear of despair spreading like contagion. For many patients, like Julia, became the boundary of their world, visible through windows, walked beside during permitted outings, stared at during sleepless nights when coughing rattled through the wards. Death was common enough that it became routine. When patients passed, their bodies were removed quietly. Beds were remade, and new patients arrived. The lake remained unchanged. Unlike hospitals, sanatoriums were places of long waiting. Weeks turned into months, months into years. Patients watched seasons change from the same windows, measuring time not by calendars, but by snowfall and thaw. For many, the psychological toll rivaled the physical one. Records and recollections suggest depression, anxiety, and emotional withdrawal were widespread. Some patients reportedly refused to speak for days at a time. Others developed obsessive routines, counting steps along paths, watching the lake at specific hours, listening to trains in the distance that carried healthy people elsewhere. Nurses and staff, too, felt the strain. Working among the sick and dying, they lived with constant exposure and the knowledge that they could be next. Turnover was high. Some stayed only months before leaving, unsettled by the atmosphere. It is here, in this prolonged emotional pressure, that the roots of haunting begin. By the mid-20th century, medical advances rendered sanatoriums increasingly obsolete. Antibiotics transformed tuberculosis from a long-term confinement into a treatable condition. Facilities like Lake Julia were downsized, repurposed, or closed altogether.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Don't you love that science?
Love science.
Just fucking figuring it out, dude.
Yeah.
Like, there's like this problem where people are hacking up blood and science is like, I got you.
Dude, this is what that is, and this is how you fix it.
Yeah.
Gotta love.
Do we get a tuberculosis vaccine? I don't know.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Maybe.
That might be worth a joojil.
Maybe a googs?
A googs. Maybe ask the googs.
Is there a tuberculosis vaccine?
I mean, there definitely is one. I just don't know if we get it on a regular basis.
Yeah. The Bacillus Comitae Gruin.
That's English.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that means.
Is it common for babies to get vaccinated against tuberculosis?
Tuberculosis.
Hmm. Cool. Yeah. There you go. Now we know. We're all vaccinated against the Berk. Pop a perk and get the Berk.
Or don't get the Berk. Yeah. That's the point.
And don't pop a perk either. They're bad for you.
That's also true. The Lake Julia Sanatorium didn't transition smoothly. Accounts suggest that it was shuttered quietly without ceremony. Equipment was removed. Records were boxed or discarded. The building stood for a time, empty, echoing, and avoided, before eventually being demolished and dismantled. Nature reclaimed the site with efficiency, but the stories did not leave with the staff. Local tales of Lake Julia's unease began not long after the sanatorium closed. Hunters reported feeling watched near the shoreline. Campers claimed that they heard coughing carried across the water at night, dry, persistent, and unmistakably human. Others described voices just beyond hearing range, as if someone were speaking from another room that no longer existed. Children dared each other to approach the old site after dark and came back shaken, unable to explain why. The lake itself gained a reputation for stillness. Even on windy nights, certain areas near the former sanatorium grounds remained unnaturally calm, as though the water were holding its breath. One of the most frequently repeated stories involves a woman seen walking near the old access road. Descriptions are consistent: thin, pale, dressed in light-colored clothing that looks outdated, but not theatrical. She moves slowly, deliberately, often appearing at dusk or early evening. Witnesses say that she never acknowledges them. She simply walks, turns towards the lake, and vanishes among the trees. Which I feel like makes sense because that was kind of like their thing. Like they didn't like really interact with the outside world at all.
Yeah.
Some believe that she's a former patient still walking the route that she once took during permitted outdoor hours. Others say that she's a nurse trapped between duty and departure, forever making rounds that no longer exist.
Jeepers, creepers.
The most chilling reports from Lake Julia are auditory. Visitors describe hearing footsteps crunching on gravel where no path remains. Doors opening or closing softly, and, doors opening and closing softly, impossibly, in the open air, and always the coughing. It begins faintly, like wind through reeds, then grows sharper, more deliberate. Not the cough of illness alone, but of effort, as though the lungs producing it are failing. Though the main sanatorium building is gone, locals insist that the nurses' quarters were once a focal point of activity long after abandonment. Teenagers exploring the site in the decades following closure reported lights in windows, voices upstairs, and the sensation of being ordered to leave. Some claim that they hear I cannot talk right now.
It happens.
Some claim they heard bells, call bells that were once used by patients.
Yeah.
Ringing faintly in the distance. Others described the smell of antiseptic, sharp and unmistakable, drifting through the trees without a source. Today, Lake Julia appears peaceful. There are no warning signs, no plaques marking what once stood nearby. To the casual visitor, it is simply another northern Minnesota lake. Minnesota. Quiet, scenic, and remote. But locals know where not to linger. They know which paths feel heavy, which clearings grow silent too quickly, and which stretches of shoreline are best avoided after sunset. And that is the Lake Julia Sanatorium.
I'm going full haunted.
Yeah, I feel like that makes sense. I feel like I would probably say the same.
Hella people died. The girl, that's creepy as shit.
Yeah, like the nurse or patient.
What do you think she is?
I would say she's probably a patient.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a nurse would just like say hi.
Yeah.
But a patient is like, I am sequestered.
Yeah.
I cannot talk to people.
Do you have to let it linger? Yep, I agree.
You know I'm such a fool for you. You got me wrapped around your finger. Oh. Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to let it linger?
That was a good one.
That might actually be copyrighted.
Yeah, that genuinely went on for a while with that one. Could you imagine?
The amount of times that we say we could get copyrighted and then we never do.
Never do.
Like we never will either.
No, probably not. I heard the cranberries are pretty aggressive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the cranberries are going to listen to this episode and be like, whoa.
Not on my fucking watch. You know what doesn't linger? Our lawyers.
They pounce.
Yeah. Fucking pounce that ass, bitch.
All right.
Are you coming around to it?
Coming around. I mean, you still get the immediate hit of citrus and then maple syrup. But I feel like it's more palatable now that some ice has melted. Gotcha. And my cinnamon stick has also been like marinating in there. So I feel like that's probably helping.
Got you. Word.
All right. Do you have a little poem?
I do. It's called Premium Blend. Okay.
Oh, boy.
I walk into the store. There is a curtain. From behind the curtain, I hear someone yell, "From grease to greatness." And he says, "You don't buy the oil. You join the oil." He then goes on to explain that we have three levels, not giving any prices. Basic hustle, executive drip, and then legacy reserve. And then out from behind the curtain, he walks out, the oil salesman, Diddy.
Oh, boy, dude.
No, I'm kidding. That's not the poem.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, I feel like if this is a whole Diddy poem,
no, we can't do a bad recipe. Can't do a Diddy poem. Don't want to do a Diddy poem.
No. He's in jail.
He's in jail.
As he should be.
Yeah. Did you watch the documentary?
I started watching it, and, dude, I fell off of it. I was just like, and also they introduced juror number 160, and I felt like she was glazing him.
She was
I don't know. She was just like clearly a fan.
Oh, gotcha.
And also on the jury.
Gotcha.
And I just didn't want to hear
her. I have not seen it. I don't really know what happened at all.
Like, so juror 160 is just one of his jurors. Like, gotcha. That was on his trial. And she's interviewed. And
gotcha.
Clearly a fan.
But I don't even know what he got arrested for. Like, I know he wasn't good, but like...
It was human trafficking, I'm
pretty sure. Oh, shit. Yeah, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that.
Pretty sure.
All right. The real poem. Please stop laughing. I'm vulnerable. Kevin Hart is my nurse. That's problem number one. Problem number two, he has the needle. He walks in already laughing, like this situation is a prank show and I'm the grand finale. He's holding the shot like it personally offended him. Why is it so little? Why is it so short? Why am I the one doing this? He says, I'm nervous. He said, and then I say, I'm nervous. He says, you nervous? I'm 4 foot, not enough, holding medical weapons. He tells me not to move while pacing, while narrating, while yelling. Don't look at it. Why are you looking at it? Shot goes in. I flinch. He jumps. We both scream. Someone down the hall screams out of habit. Then he reads the chart. Long pause. Oh no. The sponge bath. He puts on gloves like they owe him money. Triple checks the door. Triple checks me. This is not what I dreamed about in nursing school, he says. Like nursing school is surprised, too. Every splash of water, he apologizes aggressively. I'm sorry. Why is it warm? Who set it to warm? This is too much responsibility. He refuses eye contact with my knees. Keeps sponging an arm's length away like it might bite him. He calls it a strategic cleanse. Takes breaks, needs encouragement, and at the end he steps back. Hands on his hips, out of breath, says, yeah, we're never talking about this again. He leaves the room still laughing, files a report titled, Emotionally Scarring But Successful. Kevin Hart is my nurse, and somehow I'm healed, but he needs therapy. There we go.
That was fantastic, yeah. Dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, man. All right.
Should we reload and get back to your story?
Yeah.
All right, we will be right back. Burbs.
Burbs.
We're back.
All right, I am doing the old jail of Bemidji, Minnesota. A single, unbroken haunting. The old jail in Bemidji, now part of the Beltrami County Historical Society, stands as a relic of the town's earliest and harshest years. Built in the early 1900s when Bemidji was still clawing itself out of wilderness and logging camps. This was a frontier jail in the truest sense. Designed less for rehabilitation, more for confinement. Prisoners were held in cramped cells through brutal northern winters with minimal heat, poor sanitation, and little medical care. Many inmates were transient loggers, laborers, or drifters arrested for minor offenses and forgotten for weeks at a time. Others were held for violent crimes in a period when justice was swift and unforgiving. Records are incomplete, but illness, exposure, and despair were common, and death within custody was not unheard of. The building absorbed years of fear, anger, boredom, and isolation, and when the jail finally closed, locals say the structure never truly emptied. Bro, I hate the cold. I hate winter. I could not imagine being in Bemidji in fucking winter, dude.
No.
Like, that sounds awful.
I mean, we live in New England, so it's bad enough here.
Yeah.
But Minnesota, I've heard, is, like, way worse.
Like, it's
so... The Midwest in general.
It's so cold. It snows the entire fucking time to the point where you don't get snow days because it's just fucking, like...
Just always there.
It's always there. And it's probably dark,
yeah,
every single day.
Because
like,
it's
all day.
Minnesota's the most or more northern than
yes
us.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. And I think Bemidji's like up there in Minnesota. I don't actually know that at all. Those who entered the old cell block today often describe an immediate shift in atmosphere. A heaviness in the air as if sound is dampened and time slows. the most common experiences being with footsteps, slow, deliberate pacing, echoing down hallways or circling the cell area when no one else is present. Visitors report the distinct clank or scrape of metal, reminiscent of cell doors or restraints, sometimes followed by the sensation that someone has stopped just behind them. Cold spots appear without explanation, especially near former holding cells, wrapped around ankles or settling on the shoulders like an unseen hand. Several staff members and guests have described feeling watched with intense focus, not threatening, but deeply uncomfortable, as though an unseen presence is assessing whether they belong there. More unsettling encounters involve shadowy figures glimpsing at the edge of vision, dark human shapes standing just inside cell doorways at the end of corridors, only to dissolve when directly confronted. Some witnesses report a sudden rush of emotion that does not feel like their own. Anxiety, claustrophobia, or a deep sinking hopelessness that fades once they leave the building. Others describe hearing muffled voices, low murmurs, coughing, or a single sharp knock. Sounds that feel purposeful, as if they're meant to be acknowledged rather than explained. Unlike playful hauntings, activities in the old jail are described as serious and restrained, bound by routine and repetition, mirroring the lives once confined within these walls. Local lore suggests that the spirits here are not restless wanderers, but inmates who remain tied to the rhythms of incarceration, counting steps, pacing cells, waiting for a release that never comes. Paranormal investigators who have visited the site often note that activity spikes during quiet moments, particularly in winter when the building echoes the isolation and cold that once defined daily life inside. The old jail is not known for violent manifestations, but it is widely considered emotionally intense, a place where visitors leave feeling drained, reflective, or unsettled without knowing why. In Bemidji, people say the old jail does not try to scare you. It simply reminds you, patiently, restlessly, what is meant to be locked away in a forgotten corner of the north, and how some stories refuse to be released even after the doors are finally opened.
Damn.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, and I think this is very interesting, that, you know what it feels like? It almost feels like America's version of fucking Siberia.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, just fucking cold and dark and just, like, hopeless. It's so hopeless that it's not, like, the energy doesn't even have a chance to feel scary. It just, the emotion of hopelessness is so overwhelming that it can't be even, like, oh, fuck, like, this is terrifying. No, it's just, like, it's so depressed, it can't even be scary.
I also looked it up, and Bemidji is pretty up there.
It's pretty up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just fucking cold and, like, yeah, like, it was very interesting hearing and reading about, like, people are standing there, and they will feel a presence behind them. And that presence will, like I said, like, it's almost judging you, not like in a I'm going to attack you way, but just like in a, like, I'm stuck here, or you stuck here with me type of way. And I do, like, I even writing and reading about it, like, just it felt so heavy and just like,
yeah,
fuck, dude, like, there's no hope.
Yeah.
There is no hope in that jail.
You know what, though? Some people might argue that there shouldn't be.
Why?
Because people who are there have... I mean, especially, like, if it's, like, violent offenders and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, like... I mean, what it seemed... So it did seem like that was, like... So logging is, like... In logging communities and shit like that are widely considered to be some of the most, like... just fucking wild places of all time.
Yeah.
So I do think that being a logging community, there was people that got arrested for things they did not do.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, there was people in that jail that were not supposed to be in that jail, but just was like, oh, fuck, no one's coming for me.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm fucking stuck here.
Right.
And, like, yeah, like, my guess is, like, summer, like, the vibe was probably a little bit better in that jail, but they knew... that winter was right around the corner every single time.
That sucks.
And, like, years of just sitting in a cold fucking, like, just dark building 24/7. And small, like, I'm getting claustrophobic just even fucking talking about it right now.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that, dude. So what do you think? What are you giving it?
Going haunty.
Haunty? Okay.
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. I feel like there, like, that, it didn't feel like there was, like, a ton of, like, specific ghosts.
Well, I agree, and I actually, I agree. And I'm actually, I was more so saying how come, because I'm surprised, like, you gave it a relatively, on your scale, high.
Well, that's because, like, middle of nowhere, cold.
Yeah. Dark.
Dark.
Yeah.
Like, bad vibes. Uh-huh. Place in the first place. Like, uh-huh. Even when it was first constructed.
Like, yeah, like.
No person had ever been in there.
Yeah.
Like, bad vibes immediately.
Yes.
Terrible conditions, uh-huh. Freezing cold, like,
yeah.
Just it sounds like a sucky place, yes. And I feel like sucky places tend to have a little bit more energy going on.
I completely agree. I'm going haunted for the exact same reason. It's not because there was any specific entity or anything like that. I think the person standing behind you judging, maybe, but, like, it's just that picture feeling so vivid and realistic of the energy just being trapped there and being so hopeless and just, like, beaten down, that I feel like that absolutely sticks around. That doesn't leave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going haunted too.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, well, that has been episode 41.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Of Spirits on Spirits podcast.
So, yo, here.
Follow. Subscribe.
Do it.
Like.
Do it.
Comment.
Do it.
Let us know if you would like your town or city to be done.
Because
this was recommended by a listener.
Yeah, it was.
This is living proof that we will do your town or city.
We will do your town or city.
We'll do it.
We'll do it.
Bro, say you won't. Say you won't, and we will. And we will.
We will do
it. I swear to God.
Oh, man. Spirits on Spirits will do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, subscribe, follow, comment, do all the things.
Yeah.
Let us know if you want your town or city done. Give us some recommendations. Give us some cocktails that we should do. And also, I'm going to get back on this train. Send us your ghost stories.
Yeah.
Email us, spiritsonspiritspod@gmail.com.
Would it kill you to email us?
Yeah.
No.
It takes 5 minutes.
It takes 5 minutes.
If that.
If that.
It doesn't have to be a super in-depth story.
No. Just
give us your experience.
Any experience.
You won't.
You won't.
Bitch. Oh,
someone was like, yeah, you know what, I will. And then they were like, oh, well, he called me a bitch, so actually now I'm not.
But yeah, send us your stories. We want to read them. We want to look at them. We want to get all scared.
It would be fun, like, if we got them consistently enough at the end of every single episode. We had a bit built in where it was like every episode we read one listener submitted story.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That would be sick. We need you to
submit stories. But you guys need to send them in.
We can't make them up, guys.
And to be fair, we have not been on the train of asking people to do it.
So we're saying,
it's not your fault 100%. It's just like 98%.
We're saying, putty please? Putty please? Can you send in
with your stories? With a cherry on top?
With the big old cherry on the putty please? Can you send in the stories about the ghost? We really want to read your stories about ghosts, please.
I mean, Nate got all vulnerable with his story the Albuquerque episode.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got to get vulnerable with us now.
You do.
It's a two-way street here.
It is.
I haven't had any ghost stories. No. So, like, genuinely.
You're not on the street.
I'm not on the street. Yeah. But you guys might be on the street.
You might be.
So
fucking do it.
So drive.
Yeah. Drive
on the street. Fucking drive.
Drive on the street.
Run red lights.
Yeah.
Run stop signs. That is not legal advice.
Oh, man.
All right. This has been another episode. See you next week.
See you next week. Stay spooky.
Peace.
Peace.